World. I'm John Batchelor. China, the headline in the Wall Street Journal. China turns to well-honed playbook. Cut rates, hide data. Subhead, move to stop publishing youth unemployment data raises concerns about opacity around China's downturn. The downturn is broad and genuine. A sharp fall off in direct foreign investment, a sharp fall off in trade, both imports and exports, and dependency on the United States, Europe, and our allies, Taiwan even, and Korea for the chips that are necessary for the high-end production, and other metrics that are all illustrating the proverb on Wall Street, you can't catch a falling knife. All of that could be regarded as a deep recession. China has overborrowed, created conditions that cannot be easily solved, and also insists upon surveillance and state-owned enterprises superior to private enterprise. However, we set that on one side of the equation, and we come over here to the President of the United States recently making remarks at a fundraiser, I believe it was in Utah, that China is a ticking time bomb. Implicit in that statement is violence. Gregory, do you follow the formula that Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party leadership, especially the Standing Committee, are now in a corner, and to get out of it, they need to do something violent and aggressive in order to assert themselves to a population that at the very least is doubtful and restive?
Yeah, well, we've been saying this for some time, haven't we? We've got to keep reminding people that we've been saying that Xi had painted himself into a corner, and he has posed the only option for the benefit of, for the betterment of the People's Republic of China is that they have to end the civil war with the Republic of China, and that means capturing Taiwan, where the Republic of China still exists, and incorporating it into communist China. That is great, and he can talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, but it's come to the point where people are saying, well, are you going to do it or are you not? And if you're not, then let's focus on our domestic problems. He cannot address the domestic problems, however, because they're too difficult, and he needs a foreign war to distract the public. That, however, is not winnable. And as we've discussed, the People's Liberation Army has in the past couple of months tended to indicate as carefully as possible that they don't want to go to war with Taiwan, because that would automatically create a wider war, which they cannot win. There's a debate as to whether they could even win a war to take Taiwan. Yes, destroy most life on Taiwan, but not before the Taiwanese take out, for example, the Three Gorges Dam, which would be a number one priority day one. And that would literally flood Beijing and Shanghai and cost tens of millions of lives. And Taiwan could also take out other key locations along the Pacific coast of China, including the major ship repair facilities in Dalian in the north. And in the meantime, a war against Taiwan would not just be a war against Taiwan. It would automatically involve initially Japan, which is committed to supporting Taiwan. That would in turn bring in the United States, and South Korea would be involved. India would become involved because it needs that opportunity to seize parts of the Tibetan plateau, as we've discussed, and Vietnam would get involved. And in all of this, the vaunted technological superiority of the PLA, particularly the Navy and the rocket forces, is not anywhere apparent. The PLA Navy, although it claims, because it counts every rowboat and life raft as a ship, says it has more vessels than the U.S. Navy, but it has only half the tonnage of the United States Navy. Its carriers are essentially ineffective. The U.S. submarine fleet is far more modern and capable. That's not to say that the PRC or the People's Liberation Army forces could not do a lot of damage to the world. They certainly could, and particularly if they were able to get their rocket forces to obey an order to fire on Japan or the United States or some other country. The reality is the PLA has basically been telling Xi Jinping, no, we're not going to do that. That's a suicide mission. So what does that leave Xi? He has almost nowhere to go other than to massively suppress the domestic population. And there is evidence to suggest that he is doing just that. He's declared another round of COVID is on its way. They're building hospitals to cope with this terrible new round, which may or may not be deliberately induced or may not even exist. But the security forces and the People's Liberation Army have been used in the past couple of years to literally suppress the population, drive them into lockdown situations, and stop them from protesting on the streets. How long this can save Xi Jinping is debatable, especially when the reality is that people have lost their life savings. They've lost their homes because of this massive housing crisis. They've seen all of the natural disasters occurring, particularly this year. The mass flooding in the north and as well as the south has caused damage and loss of life affecting tens of millions of Chinese people. So they're not in a position to even afford food on many occasions. The talk about the unemployment statistics around 20+% for youth unemployment, this is all nonsense. That was a myth which lasted as long as it could. But the reality is that unemployment generally could be anything up to 50% of the population because the work is just not there. The streets of the cities are emptied, and particularly of foreign tourists, and certainly they're emptied of foreign investors. So you're not seeing ships going in or out of the major Chinese ports. This is a massive turning point, a massive implosion right now. And the question is, what does Xi do about it? What does the PLA do about it? Does the PLA step in ostensibly to support Xi Jinping, but really to stop him doing anything rash, and in the meantime impose some form of martial law, which may also lead to the resurrection of the warlords or the military districts which divide and conquer the mainland China. It's very difficult to say. We're in a situation where the Chinese Communist Party could disappear within the next few years, or we could see the party resurrected and supported by the PLA so that it becomes a military state. That's very much on the cards.
The New York Times speaks to the director of the SOAS China Institute in London. His name is Steve Tsang. This quote, "A strong, rich, and powerful China under Xi wants to change the world order. A strong man in charge of such a state that is getting weak, poor, and unstable will do whatever it takes to stay in power, regardless of its consequences for the rest of the world." I believe that's a lengthy version of saying ticking time bomb. Does Xi have a timeline in mind, to your understanding, of when he must make a decision about Taiwan?
He can make all the decisions he likes. As I say, I think the way things are going, the PLA is just going to say, well, we're not going to do it. So if he splits the PLA over this issue, then he's faced with a civil war.
Right.
So the question is, how aware is Xi Jinping that he does not have the tools at his disposal to declare war on Taiwan? If he thinks he can get away with it and get some units to do it, is he aware of the consequences? And we'd have to assume that as isolated as he is still aware that things are not going too well. So my belief is that he will attempt to find a way out of declaring war, and he may just use the Taiwanese or the Republic of China elections next January as the great key to say, we forced them to vote this way or that way, therefore, we don't have to worry about them for the time being and, declare victory and go home.
And then, the economy still continues to sink. But,
sure. But
he can declare that we're no longer reporting that. And
that will
get him through a certain length of time.
The key is that he talks war, but he presides over the destruction of the economy. So there is no war economy. If you're going to wage war, you have to have a war economy. In other words, control over meaningful resources to enable you to undertake a sustained conflict. He doesn't have that. He has no sustained access to energy or food in particular. The U.S. estimates now are that his military computer chips may be as much as five generations behind those of the United States. So in all metrics, he is not able to get over the speed bump to build his war economy. And you can talk all you like. This is a bit like Erdogan in Turkey. You can make all these grandiose statements, but at the end of the day, if somebody asks to see your bank account or your balance sheet, then you're going to get embarrassed. And that's where we are with Xi right now. For the first time, even Wall Street, which basically has lost a lot of U.S. investors' money, is finally admitting the fact that U.S. investors aren't going to get their money back out of mainland China.
And Gregory, the president's metaphor of ticking time bomb, that could either be war or civil war or collapse or disorder, correct? It could be any of those things.
It could be any of them. And anybody who says they know for sure is, you know, is being a little rash. The fact that President Biden is saying it shows that he is now needing to prove his anti-Beijing credentials in the face of allegations which have been made politically against his and his family's ties to the communist Chinese government or the Communist Party of China. So, you know, he's definitely got to prove his credentials, and I think he's prepared to do that by, if you like, coming out firmly now and saying that we have to be wary of communist China.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. A year of King Charles and our measure of him in the King Charles Report next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.